When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Trevor, was there a particular reason why you didn't make the Australia tour?
Yes, because I'm a wise man.
Yeah.
And I know what that trip's going to incur. I know what you're going to have to deal with. And I feel like it's a young man loop.
Get experience.
A very good. Find out what it's like to be a real pro wrestler, bro. And you guys know when you go to a different country, no matter if it's Australia or not, it's totally different.
Yeah, Australia and South Africa are probably the two stiffest countries I've ever had to work in, just because of the travel. Because there's no short drive.
Flight. Right, it's a 14-hour flight direct, right? Like from L.A., I think L.A.
It was 16 for me.
No, yeah, I think it's like 18. I'm trying to remember from where, but Australia's a long day, and that's if you fly into New Zealand or Auckland, and then you connect.
They're there for 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? They don't have any idea about like the 4 or 5 day mark when, like, at first it's all happy and fun and everything, but then that 4 or 5 day mark and you forget what day it is and you're just like,
well, the biggest thing, all right, this new generation of wrestler, they seem to, and just what I've observed, and I'm sure the locker rooms are across the world are kind of the same. They're so social media and don't want to miss anything kind of a thing. Like you'll be around each other for 12 hours at a TV taping. And instead of going up in the room and getting a good sleep and a meal, they'll sit in the lobby till 4 a.m. because they might miss something. Or, you know, they want everyone to see that they're quote, over. That only is going to last about 3 days in Europe. But they'll still do it, and they'll be exhausted, and their work will not be great, and they'll want to – but none of them will think, hey, just go to my room and get some sleep. You know, they – like, people would ask me, like, and Aaron, I know, and you travel all over the world, and like, so what'd you see? A lot of hotel ceilings.
Yeah.
Because we got
– Gold gym.
Went to sleep. Did we – because it's a work – you're working, you know, and every once in a while there's a couple of like guys like, hey, let's go see the Tower of Pisa or something. Like, it's day 12, bro. No, I'm assuming it's still leaning to one of the sides, right? I'm good. Well, you know, because it was more important to me to have a good match than it was to sightsee. Saying you can't do both, but
we were wrestling every day, though. We were wrestling every day. Those guys at least get a break or two in between, like a two-day run and nothing and for a couple days, and they wrestle 2 days. So we were wrestling every single day.
Yeah, they got it easy.
And no, like, remember the worst, right? So, like, usually how we would do two TVs, we do the Monday, Tuesday, leave for Europe.
Yep.
And then you 2 weeks nonstop, but then you fly back to the U.S.
Yep.
And then you still have two more days of TV.
Yeah.
12-hour days. Sometimes you're driving between like 3 and 4 hours through the night, you know, that's not everybody can handle that.
And if you're still under your training contract, you got to show up at FCW on Wednesday for promo class. So, you know,
hey, you got to put in the work, right?
And that's where it was nice being one of Dusty's, because I would just get just come in and say hi, baby, and go home. And I would do that. Did you guys happen to catch?
Luke, we can hear everything you're doing, dude.
Can you? Sorry.
Yeah, everything, man. I'm going to say it. I don't mean to interrupt, man.
No, I'm glad you said it, because I
can hear it all. You're killing the podcast.
I'm cleaning up. Walking and talking.
Did anybody see the Dusty biography on A&E?
Not yet.
No, I didn't get a chance to.
I watched it. I watched it on Sunday, Easter. And you know, it was funny because my closeness with Dusty was different in a sense where the lessons he was teaching me would be so confusing about as far as wrestling goes. And a couple of the lessons that I just thought I knew, I didn't know. And obviously, the only reason why I know that is because Dustin, he shared so much on the biography. And, you know, we talk a lot about homie checks and stuff. And Dustin did what I would call a homie check when he was talking about his situation with his dad. And, I mean, it was I got choked up just watching it because I related. But my last day in the WWE under contract, I spent it with Dusty, unknowing that it was my last day, and I'm pretty sure he knew it was. But as we sat there and he played Neil Diamond, probably because no one could hear him speak.
What song was it?
We were in there for 2 hours, so it was all of them.
Oh, wow.
And but Caroline, I think, started the bad boy. I think that started the party. And he was telling me about painting my canvas. And he was telling me about not worrying about whether I'm getting over in the WWE or not. I'm a star, and a star can be a star anywhere. But I have to remember the two most important things. And I was so sure that it was get over. Those are the two words. That's what I thought he was telling me, is I got to get over. I got to get over more than to the point where the WWE can't affect me. You know, like, no matter what they do to me, whether they have me dress up like Kool-Aid or whatever the hell the deal is that my ability and my charisma and my star power is bigger than any decision that the WWE puts on me. Just like him, you know, because his thing was like, I don't like to be bossed around, neither did he. And our personalities, it's hard to have a boss with a personality like mine, as y'all can imagine. So, and I thought I knew it. And, you know, he had his little notebook thing, right, where he'd make his little notes. And Dustin shared that. And as I'm like, looking at it, and I got my daughter sitting with me. And it was, what are the two most important things? What are the two most important words? And I said, oh, get over. And it wasn't. It was my family. And it emotionally hit me in the chest because I missed the lesson. He wasn't talking to me about getting over. He was trying to remind me to make sure I take care of my kids and my family don't make the same mistakes he did. And he didn't always talk in riddles, but we never really, like, the stuff we talk about, it would always be outside the ring. He'd always be telling me stories about when he was going through his first divorce, and he was going through this, and he was going through that, and would make jokes and would laugh. Or every time my son would come in, he'd snatch him up and take him away and go sit in the office with him. But I always equated it to somehow it was wrestling. But and I think that's what made it such a charging thing, and it sat with me, and it's been sitting with me since then, you know. And so when I reached out to Dustin and thanked him for sharing, and I told him that I missed the lesson, and he said, it's okay, I'm still learning that I thought I knew from him. So I was in good company in that aspect of it. But if you haven't seen it, you should really see it, because it was, and very rarely do I like say, wow, that was really done, but that was well done, really well. And his message was family. And it was really powerful, powerful biography. And good luck following whoever's got to follow that one.
Yeah,
they drop those every week.
Yeah, I think the Iron Sheik is this week.
But every week they drop a new one.
Well, I don't watch anything religiously enough to know. I would imagine it's probably a season, right, or something like that. But
oh, hey, I know what I wanted to ask y'all, because it's the perfect place to ask this. People are complaining on Twitter about wrestlers, you know, taking pictures backstage about, and a bunch of guys are posting on Twitter about that, you know, guys taking pictures backstage. Is it taboo? Is it not taboo? And then you got guys like, you know, I think, let's see, I know Sean Waltman, several others have chimed in and said, yeah, take as many pictures as you can. But then you send that message out and you go, when you're an extra, say you're going to be an extra backstage, when they send you the contract for that, it tells you that you can't take photos backstage and stuff in that contract. So now you got boys online saying, yes, take pictures backstage, which is going against the rules. How do y'all feel about that?
Well, I think it's within the context. I had a situation at the pay-per-view when, you know, the one I whooped Chris Adonis's ass.
hell of a match. That was a hell of a match.
Outsmarted his punk ass. But anyway, and a guy was down there and he was taking pictures and I snapped on him. And I was like, hey, don't take random pictures of guys in the back. And you're not going to take pictures of me. I was getting changed or whatever. And I'm sitting there putting my boots on and this guy's taking pictures. And I snapped at him. I was like, hey, man, don't take pictures back here. This is not the place to take pictures. outside that door, you know, whatever. If you if you're backstage and your hero is Aaron Stevens and he's your favorite and he's the guy you looked up to, respectfully going up to him and asking him, "Hey man, I've been a fan of yours my whole life. Would it be okay if you and I took a picture? Just, you know, it would mean a lot to me." I think that's okay. I think that's what Sean was getting at. But turning on the recorder and being like backstage, that's like, that'd be like filming a magician's rehearsal and posting it before the show.
But at the same time, in film and in wrestling, like when you sign these contracts, even when you go backstage as an extra, if you're working as extra, they send you a list to, you know, do, and it says on it, do not ask for photos with the talent. Don't, you know,
I wouldn't anyways, just that. out of decorum, but
so it's a different world. So when you have a, well, that's what I'm saying. When you have a company that's telling you to do one thing, but then people that you admire or online telling you to do another, where's that barrier? I mean, because most people don't have good judgment, right? Most people are, you would think most people have common sense to go, hey, don't bother this person right now. Hey, now's probably a good time I can ask for a picture. It seems like it's cool. You know, but most people don't have that common sense.
Yeah, I never have. So I don't, and that's not a I'm over anybody. It's just the way my mind works. I worked with Snoop. I've done every, you know, whatever. And people are like, hey, you have any pictures? I'm like, no. Like they want to do a segment on Gutfeld tonight. They're like, hey, do you have any pictures of you in college? I'm like, no. I didn't ever took pictures. It was never a thing. So I just never, you know, what am I going to put in a photo album? I was broke. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just didn't think, you just didn't think about it. So I look back and I regret the fact because, like, a lot of times people are like, oh, he didn't know that guy. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like, oh, wait, yeah, he did. Well, where's your photo? I didn't take pictures. Like, I just always looked at it as a nuisance, you know, and I was never a big fan of looking at myself in pictures either. So I don't know. Like I said, I think if it's WWE, go ahead.
I wish I would have taken pictures.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I never did. And I don't think I'm alone. I don't remember ever seeing Aaron taking pictures of anybody.
But it's different when you're a contract guy, right?
But even uncontracted, it's just as a regular guy on the street, if the four of us were sitting down getting a beer somewhere and Morgan Freeman walked in, and we're like, Morgan Freeman, none of us would get up and go, hey, can I get a picture? We just wouldn't.
I'm talking about you.
As long as you're respectful, I think it's all about the approach, right, guys? Like, as long as you come up to one of us at the right, you know, at the respectful time, just, hello, my name's Jimmy Bob. Can I please get a picture? And most of the time, if we can't do it right then and there, we give them an option. Yeah, man, after I eat, when I'm leaving, I have no problem. Or when I'm, you know what I mean?
$20, pal, no problem. I
would say though, if you're working for a company and they say no pictures, I wouldn't take a picture.
Yeah,
you're gonna lose your job for a Polaroid. Then go ahead because the talent will probably say yes, and someone's gonna see you taking that picture, and you're gonna lose your spot. So my advice would be, if you are going to a place that says do not take pictures of the talent, or there while you're backstage at like a WWE or AEW event where you're trying to become gainfully employed. You do not want that on your resume. That's the guy who was trying to take pictures. They won't give a damn what move you're doing in the ring. If you're in an indie show where there's not those constraints and you see a legend or whatever and you want to ask for a picture, I think that's different. But I would protect your paycheck first. That would be my advice.
And I think that's the safe bet. I think that's the safe line that the common person should walk or know to walk, but it's not always, again, that common.
And some people think they're smart. The smarter the system, or they're slick.
And let's go back to the Dusty lesson, right? Like, and this is something I know, Tyrus, like you and I, we got to spend some time with him, and you more than me, but he was also like heavily influential in my career.
Right. Everybody's career. No. Dusty's probably every world champion with very few exceptions. Is a product of Dusty. I mean, Roman Reigns. I mean, across the board. So you know, maybe the exception of AEW's champ just because of his youth. But
I got the tag with him once.
That's awesome. Yeah, I never got that. I went and watched him in a tag match. Went and sat out. We were in Kissimmee, and it was the Dude Busters against Dusty and somebody. And I went and sat in the front row during the show from in the back. Wow. So, because I just wanted to see the elbow. Just wanted to see the elbow one time, and I got it.
I got to work him in OVW. It was me and Casey James versus Dusty and Cody. That was pretty fun, man. That was definitely a surreal experience.
That's something I will never get.
But like going back to the lesson, right? Like with this picture thing, and I think it was Sean Waltman or X-Pac. You know, he said, "Hey, I really enjoy taking pictures of people," and that's awesome. That's a great thing.
Sean is a great guy.
Pretty much, like without a doubt, I mean, he's amazing.
He is. He's phenomenal.
No, one of the things were like, again, his sentiments, I think, were what we just expressed, where we don't mind, we'll take pictures, we're happy to do it. But to Dusty's, you know, one of his lessons, act like you belong, act like a star. And yeah. I understand we live in a world of Instagram and everything else, but the fact is, if I'm going to get a job somewhere, even, and look, it is okay to take pictures. We all, you said, we're not going to refuse them. But if I want a job there and I'm like, hey, these people are my peers, you know, we don't exactly snap selfies with each other all the time, right?
I don't think we ever have, Aaron.
There's a certain decorum.
I don't think you and I have ever taken a picture together.
And nor will we ever.
No.
So, yes, that's just,
but
again,
my point was,
like,
my point to that was, that before we get to the Waltman thing, was I'm sitting there and they're showing all these pictures of Dusty with people. And they're showing Dusty's funeral. And, of course, I see myself in the background because that's the only funeral I've ever been to. And I had a moment with you. You never thought to once take a picture with somebody who meant so much to you. And there was a moment of regret there. They're like, I don't have one picture of me and Dusty together. And I was like, and that was on me, or, you know, because it just didn't come up. I can't think of all the times we were in that office where I was forcing him to tell me more superstar Billy Graham stories, how he whooped his ass up and down New York. And it never once occurred to me to say, hey, smile. The only thing I have, and it's in my storage in Tampa, which I haven't checked since I left Tampa. I just keep it paying there. Is I have on a, I don't even know if you can still use them, on a CD. They videotaped Dusty getting me to dance for the Funkasaurus gimmick. And us arguing and him finally getting me to dance with him. And
get that switched over.
I took the original copy out of the guy's hand. I was like, give me that. Because I, you know, I didn't want it. You know, you can't, people post, that, you know.
That's old, though. That's awesome.
And I was like, that's the only thing I have. And it's somewhere in storage. Hopefully it's safe. We'll be back with much more after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You still have a storage unit in Tampa?
I still have all my Funk. I had so much Funkasaurus stuff. Bruh, I have outfits I never broke out. Adidas sent me a small village of tracksuits. I have more posters. The Funkasaurus was on everything. I have more posters, pictures, action figures, Christmas ornaments. There was that really disturbing piggy bank. Like, I just had tons and tons of stuff. Singlets I never even wore.
Hot Pocket flag?
The Hot Pocket flag, yep. The Hot Pocket t-shirt line. So I just put it all in storage. And it's just kind of been there, like, safe and Tupperwares and stuff. But the point is, like, and then Luke brings up that point. Was I wrong not to see, like, it was Harley Race's birthday. And I'm sure Trevor be training. I'm sure you guys got pictures together, at least one. In the gym,
I've got several. Yeah,
yeah,
several.
You know, and it's like
I was lucky enough. Other people took pictures of us together that I didn't. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. I took a couple of my own, but you know, it's just someone there with a camera, bro. And I was lucky enough to get into the picture with him.
You know, and it's like you look back and you go, because you never really wanted to like prove anything to anybody. You know what I'm saying? It's like that was never the mindset. It was never like one day, you know, I'm going to meet Luke and be, oh, hey, Luke, check out my picture of me and Dusty. You know what I'm saying? It's just, no, there's people like that. There's people like that. Unfortunately, no, I think that I'm in a few photo albums I probably wish I wasn't in. But, you know, you just, you don't think in those terms because you're in it.
you know, and then you look back on it and you're like, well, as long as I still got my memories, we're good, but they start to fade, you know? And it's just,
oh yeah.
And that's the where some of the things that I saw and I was laughing so hard about, because one of the jokes Dusty always told me, you know, life goes fast. You might as well be in a Cadillac, baby. And because he never saved money, you know? And I was like, you know, it was,
yeah,
he got $1 in his pocket, but he spent two. And I'm laughing and crying at the same time, because we would have these arguments, you know, and he was like, I was 3-time world champion. And what's your problem, bro? I said, I'm not the booker. And then he just said, and then he said, get your ass up out of here. You're so damn smart, you know? And I just, it was like I like forgot all the with Jim Ross, and remember trying to get him to tell me if there was a good black wrestler's book, and Dusty coming out of the office.
Oh my God, Barbecue Jones?
Yeah. And then Dusty coming out of the office going, bro, just come here. Get your ass in the office. You know, it's just, you know, and there was the just days that I just, things I forgot are when he chewed my ass in front of everybody. I had that match with Titus O'Neil, and I laughed at something he did in the ring, and he came out and he said, you've been here before and been fired, Brodus. I mean, what are you doing? It's either now or never for you. Like, in front of everybody. You know, he's like, you're wasting my time. You don't get to laugh in the ring. You know, and I was like, you know, he's like, it's play or go home. And I remember most people in this day and age, if someone, I mean, I'm talking about everybody, 300 people in the building, you know, all wrestlers, agents, and he came out and just ripped me for laughing in the ring. And, but I was never mad at that. He was right. You know, it never changed anything. He never had to apologize for anything that he said to me. And I think of those moments and I was like, I'm forgetting all that. Not that I needed a damn picture, but it was just a point.
Yeah, but the lessons you learn from him, though, like, think about that. Even now, and we talk about this all the time, how you've kind of, you know, again, taken what he said and from that first lesson about when he, or your last day in WWE, rather, how you're bigger than this and get over and all the things he said, and you have done that. And I think right now, like, your life is a testament to your relationship with Dusty. And you know, you have him to thank for that. And it's just kind of cool to see you with the NWA title.
Yeah.
But being where you are today, had you not had that Jedi training with him, like, you would not be where you are today, in my opinion.
No, and I think the, like I said, and if you guys haven't seen it, man, Dustin Rhodes is unbelievable. I mean, Cody is great and his family is great, but I for Dustin to open up the way that he did, because, you know, Cody's always guarded to a certain extent. That's just the way he is. But Dustin just put it out. He just let it out there, you know, and
he's such a good guy too.
And it was like, it wasn't painful, but it was like you shared his pain, and then, you know, but their story is a happy ending. And I think that's probably the most beautiful thing about the Rhodes family, was that they got a happy ending. Most of us don't get that. Most of us don't, no, you know, yeah. And his message was, it's never too late to fix a bridge, you know? And I feel like, especially for guys in our business, every one of us has a broken bridge somewhere. You can't be on the road. You can't sacrifice to do what we do and not lose people along the way. It's just impossible. Either that or you never had anybody to begin with. And that's just my, I don't know what you guys think about that.
I can't argue with it.
I mean, it depends, you know, every situation has an outcome to be determined. You know what I'm saying? Like, something's bad enough. What I'm trying to say is, if something's bad enough, you don't fix that bridge.
Right. Obviously. Yeah. No, but some things also, you gotta let go.
Right. But there's also a lot of bullshit bridges that have been burned that you should, you know, look, if I've ever had issues with anybody, I try to talk it out. I prefer to.
Right.
Because I'm not afraid to speak with somebody and get over something. You know, I think that's a big problem with the world today. But most people can't communicate in general. So,
yeah, because
especially
forgiveness also is a powerful thing, too. Like, you're not going to fix the bridge, but you can't linger on that shit either. You know, you can forgive somebody for their wrongs and not, it doesn't mean you bring them back. It means you say goodbye, you know.
It's
but
more
you make
for
it,
healing yourself.
Yeah, you got to fix. You got to fix the house first.
Right. Well,
communication is always the key, right? In any relationship, you know.
Yep.
No matter if it's a friendship, your coworkers, your wife, you know, you have to communicate. And I think you learn that as you get older, right?
Wisdom.
I don't know if I always communicated. Yeah.
Right. You learn. You should learn everything.
Yeah, well, if you don't, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But, yeah, the problem is that a lot of people who are speaking have no wisdom. That's the issue. You know, and they don't listen. They only hear what they want to hear, you know. And that was some of it with Dusty, because I was so obsessed with, you know, they're wronging me. They're not letting me be me, you know. And, you know, he was just trying to make sure that I didn't make the same mistakes that he did. Don't lose your son chasing the dream, you know, was the message. And even though I didn't hear it, it obviously sunk in, because my relationship with my children is not something that I have to worry about. I think I am so invested in my kids. The day doesn't go by where I don't speak to them, you know, in one way or the other. So luckily, one of the nice things about technology being on the road so much is that it's not an excuse not to talk to your family.
Well, and it's crazy, bro, when how well things go outside of life, when everything at home is going well, when you have a support system, when you have people you know that you can come home to and not be tyrants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not be, Aaron Stevens and Luke Hawks. We're smart enough to know that we've got those people at home that just give us our, I don't know, just our relaxation, our just our peace of mind.
Because there's another
thing.
There's a difference.
The other thing is,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, the other thing is, when you walk in those doors, you know, of that home, hey, trash still got to go out Monday night.
Yeah, we're back to regular dad duties and taking care of the lawn. And my wife thinks it's funny about that kind of stuff, because we're like superheroes, guys. You know, on the weekends, we get to go play these superstars. But when we go back home, we're still husbands and fathers that still got to do laundry.
Clean It Up Wild podcast.
Well, I'm not, but.
Well, no, but when you can't turn it off, that's the problem. When the cheers from strangers are more important than the smile from the ones who love you, that's what gets a lot of guys. They get those two things confused. Because
it got me for a while.
Yeah, you get caught up in that crowd and that mob. And that's the most important thing, because it feels good whether they boo you or they cheer you, because boos feel good too. You know, people be like, what are you talking about? But when you're a bad guy and they're booing you out of the building, you know, that's a smile on your face. You know, that's well, sun
it's
on
an
your
addiction,
face.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got him. You got him.
You got him.
That's right. Yep. I got these motherfuckers.
You know, I forget what somebody said to me. At the pay-per-view about cheering and booing. I was like, hey, man, nobody cheers or boos me, man. I tell them what to do. I pull the strings. Like, nobody tells me. I tell them. And Dr. Tom was just laughing because he was like, he doesn't get it. And I was like, well, he will one day, maybe. Or maybe not. But yeah, that's so, like, it's funny because, you know, Aaron be the first one to tell you, I am not an open book. You know, and like seeing, I had my daughters at this show, and seeing them cheer and flip out when I come out and stuff. I was like, there was a good chance that I would have never seen any of that chasing what I was chasing. And I think that was the lesson Dusty was talking, because he got a chance to do it right with Cody, but unfortunately with Dustin, Dustin was the one who only got to see his father sometimes because he was always on the road, you know, like, and then at the end, he was lucky enough to bring it all together.
Hey, but some people don't have no other options too. You know, that's the rough thing is look, I didn't have the options when I had to go out and leave and try and make a job for myself. I had to leave Perry. So, you know, I had to leave for 8 months at a time from where I lived somewhere else on no money, you know, roommates, just trying to make a name for myself. So eventually we can have a better life. You know, we didn't have a rich family. We didn't have all that. So what do? You know, there wasn't video chatting back then neither. So I had no other options, bro.
Yeah. Well, Dusty's situation was a little different because he was at the pinnacle. You know, you could get a plane ticket. You could.
Right.
You could do when everyone's seeing you on TV every week, you could find ways to get your family there, you know, that was the message. It was, Dusty owned it, and that's again one of his lessons. He didn't even make efforts because he was so caught up in being the dream, you know. And I think that's a little different than, you know, the struggle. Now, if he was just making towns and sending money home just to keep the lights on, then, you know, that's when they got to understand that he was sacrificing. But when they, when your dad's bigger than life and he's a household name and you're still not seeing him, that's an issue. And that's what more I was talking about, because I was getting to that point where I was like, I've been on the road for 2 weeks and I'm doing all these tours and I'm doing all this stuff and I just want to go home. I'm just coming home to change and chill, but I still ended up at a bar with my buddies instead of being where I needed to be. And that's because I was so caught up in being Brodus Clay that I was not, you know, George was a horrible person. And Brodus Clay was just easier to be. And then, of course, Tyrus or whatever. And I think that was the point.
But you learned. Cause
No. Yeah, no, I did learn. I learned quickly. But some of us don't learn that. And he did too. Yeah. And that was the point. But and some of us who don't, Dustin's message was there's always time to try to figure it out. And they were able to figure it out. Because sometimes people are out there going, especially a lot of wrestlers or entertainers who haven't been good fathers, and they just kind of, the most humiliating part is to keep letting it go on.
Right.
You know, it's one phone call. Maybe the first time you call, you get hung up on. Maybe you get called every name in the book by the mom, you know, but it's a start. And if you're willing to walk, you know, and it's just sometimes it starts with just the change. You know what I'm saying? And so for those chasing it out there that listen or think, oh, man, I'll just call my kid next week. That's the humiliation, is looking back, because eventually we're all going to be old men if we're lucky. And when you're sitting there in your final days, it's not going to be how many cheers you had. If you have kids, it's going to be, do they love me enough to see me go? You know, and that's, and Dusty was able to get that. So I think that's the a lot of the boys out there chasing that fame, take time out for your family. Especially your kids. If you got kids, make time. It's not glorious. It's not great. Maybe you don't go to the bar.
But it's worth it.
But it's worth it in the long run.
Well, again, you don't want to get to an age where you can't change nothing. That would be the worst. That's the biggest crime, is knowing you had time and didn't do anything about it, and then you can't do nothing about it. I think that's why wrestlers hold on so long in the ring.
Because that's all they got.
We all know. Yeah, well, there's one day, bro. Everybody on this podcast right now, we're all going to meet that day when we realize we're never stepping in that ring as a wrestler again full time.
No, and then there's the other one, and then but here's the thing. Because of the state of the world of wrestling now, you can still step in that ring when you have no business doing it, and that's even worse. Like, everybody knows it's over but you. You know?
Yes. Right.
And you can make $300,000 doing it. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, right.
My bad.
You know, but well, there's only a few guys who are able to do that. The real problem is the guy who's doing it for, you know, $50 and,
yeah,
you know, and just sitting there waiting. And and it's too late now, because now you're just old, washed up, and you're somebody's happy moment from the 80s. Like, you just... And that's all you are. And most of those people have moved on with their lives, you know, and then you look at, and it's just, but it's not just wrestling. It's anybody who's in entertainment, sports, period. You chase the ball so long, you chase the camera so long, and then you step on everybody to get there. And then when the camera moves on to somebody younger, faster and better and funnier, you look back and you see your wake of destruction, and you want to feel sorry. You want everyone to feel sorry for you. And it's like, no, there was moments you could have taken. It just takes a moment, a phone call, a FaceTime. Maybe you don't go to the Bahamas with the fans. You know, maybe you stay your ass home or whatever, or don't get mad whenever you get to the hotel room. You got to call everybody to check on everybody. So you look at it, and it's just choices. You know, it's just life is about choices. And even if you're in entertainment and the whole world loves you, it really doesn't matter. If the ones that know you the best don't.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
That's 100% right there. That should be on a t-shirt.
Yep.
Really don't, you know. And Aaron, like, you're different because, you know, you don't have kids yet. But it's the same thing with friendships and family.
Hey, Aaron's family over here.
Oh, there he is. Wait a minute. Did we lose him? Yeah, my kids call him uncle. He's got at least two boys here at this house that love the shit out of him and consider him as uncle, even if he doesn't produce his own children.
Well,
no, and here's my take. Yeah, I'm back. Sorry, lost for a second. I got the tail end of that. No, because I'm the only one of us that doesn't have any children that I know of. And to me, it was always a choice where, you know, I saw a lot of people, try to balance it out. And where I was at the time, just said, you know what? I don't think that's going to be fair to me. And we talked about this on the show here, like where I've walked away from relationships and had to end it. I mean, I was almost married twice or almost engaged twice. But like at the end of the day, I could not justify it being fair to that, you know, the particular woman I was going to be engaged with. Now, granted, that was two different women over the course of 15 years, but still like,
yeah,
you guys have seemed to, you know, you found the right woman. You know, you have the balance. I haven't yet. And I don't want to have to try to say, oh, I'm at this age, so I need to have, a wife, kids, and everything, because I just don't want to do that. You know, I'm kind of like you said, letting life unfold and seeing what happens. But at the same time, I mean, it does. It means the world to me, you know, that I get to hang out, you know, Trevor with Trevor Paul, with Cade, have the relationship I do. You know, COC, I've known him since he was born.
Yeah, I know you ain't going to say Georgie, because Georgie was on you.
Let me tell you something, Georgie. I am not wearing eyeliner again, because at the end of the day, Georgie was right, because there was an incident that I'm not going to mention on the air that I think the eyeliner.
I'm fine with mentioning it, actually.
I heard her look at you and go, you go, girl.
No, she said, she says, sup, girl.
She was right. I admit that. She was 100% right. Because man, I shudder to even think about what happened because of the eyeliner.
Listen, you have, okay. All right. So you do it. You put the eyeliner on for reaction, right? And usually it's to mess with like me or Trevor, the guy, and you know, walk around with your eyeliner on waiting for us to say, why do you have that on your face? You don't have a gimmick for that. Like, why are you wearing that? And then you go, I don't know, what are you talking about? It's for the lighting, you know, and then you do your stick. So when my daughters saw it, Nari and Georgie, when they saw it, they're like, should we call them Auntie Aaron? Because my kids are, you know, they're hip. And Aaron was like, no, I just wear it for TV. And Georgie's like, no, you like it. No one else is wearing it. And then so every time Aaron walked by, Georgie would be like, hey, girl, sup, girl. And like your eyes.
How diverse your daughter is.
And she was like, what do you got, smoky eyes? Like, what is that we're doing? Like, she's just on him. So Aaron, again, he does this for reaction, but not knowing, or maybe just the innocence of Aaron, is that it's no longer like taboo for men to wear eyeliner. It's just a lot of what you see on social media now, to where men kind of like dress like women and are kind of in that, you know, that androgynous zone or non-binary or whatever the hell you want to call it. Aaron was walking around meeting people, Luke, and he had his eyeliner on, and a gentleman happened to notice his eyeliner and said he loved his eyes and was assuming that Aaron was flirting with him. And
well, see, that's the thing is Aaron is in character 24/7.
Yeah, well, he needs to drop that down about 12 hours. Otherwise, he's got some. So
that shows I am.
Yeah, Aaron couldn't understand why the gentleman thought he was flirting with him. And I said, well, you were batting your eyes at everybody. And now it's no longer like if a man wears makeup, it's not a big deal anymore. It's just you assume that's who that person is. So Aaron, if anything, it's Aaron's fault for sending mixed signals.
Very mixed signals.
It's like a yellow light, right? Like a light.
Yeah.
Do you stop or do you go?
Like you wanna be a bird of paradise, Aaron, and you wanna show everybody your colors and your feathers and you're peacocking around, and then somebody peacocks you back and you're offended. Can't be offended.
It was a little too peacock.
I saw it. Like there was no subtleties about it. Like he just was like, "Whoa, what you wanna do?" And Aaron was like, "Beg your pardon? Excuse me?"
Like I forget I have it on sometimes, right? And I do. It's for stage makeup, and it just character wise, I think it's just it was where I was at. But this is again, we're in the back, and this happened, and I went like, "What the hell? Like what? Huh?" And then I kind of like started putting two and two together real quick, and yeah, I had to put a stop to that real quick. And again, I don't condemn anybody. You know, do what you do, but. Look, it's a pro wrestling show, and the eyeliner is just simply part of my character, and that's where it ends.
Hey, are you sponsored by like Maybelline or anything?
No, he should be.
But you know what? Maybe we can get him for the podcast or Revlon or something like that.
My original question to Aaron was: did you flirt back? Did you?
No.
Did you do anything to make it? How were you dressed?
I did have a velvet blazer, Aaron.
And what did you do, Aaron? Like, take responsibility for your actions, you know. And then my daughter looked at him and says, "I bet you'd take it off now, won't you, sweetheart?"
And she was right.
Yeah, and, you know. But again, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you are going to wear that now, it's no longer like when Adrian Street did it. It's not like that, or when adorable Adrian Adonis did it.
Yeah.
Because when they did it, it was a big deal. Like men wearing makeup was a big deal. Now, not so much. It's not a big deal.
Start a new trend. I think you ought to start a new trend. Maybe put a little something in your hair, a little bonnet or something. And go to that next level, bro. Take it to that next level.
Maybe if I went less smoky with the eyeliner.
I think that trend's already started.
Like I said, it's not. But you got to be authentic now. Can't fake that. You know, if it's not in your wheelhouse, it's not who you are. You probably shouldn't do it because you're going to send mixed signals, and it's also not fair to that gentleman.
What?
No, it's not fair to him at all. Like, you know.
You let him on.
You let him on.
Well, and you know something? I'm not going to.
That's false advertisement. That's like saying,
please
come to Hooters. We've got all the barbecue buffalo chicken wings you can handle, and you get there, and you wait in line because you can't wait to get your hands on some barbecued chicken wings, and you sit up at the table, and the waitress comes up and says, "I'd like to order some chicken wings." "Oh, we don't have any of that here." But all the signs indicated that there was delicious chicken here. Well, sorry. Sorry, you misconstrued our sign. So if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, and then the duck's offended when I want to go swimming with it, that's not fair, Aaron.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm doing, right? This is a family show.
No, I – look, in a professional setting, and I think, look.
I think you owe him an apology.
What?
I think he owe him an apology.
No, you know what? You guys have worked with me, like, for many years, right? Like, can we at least agree upon the fact that at work I am completely professional and respectful to everyone, especially those that I don't know? Right.
Yes, but you were wearing seductive makeup and outfits and walking around and meeting everybody, and you might have sent the wrong signal. I think that's on you.
I think that in a professional setting, we should maintain decorum at all times. And my whole thing was, I can sympathize now with, like, you know, if a woman walks by a construction site and people whistle, I know that's kind of...
Oh, you got to be kidding me. You're the victim?
I was violated to a degree.
You're the victim?
I was violated.
Are you saying you got catcalled? Is that what you...
He 1,000% did, but...
You saw the look.
You were the one meowing. Stop. You don't want to get catcalled. Stop meowing.
Hey, you know what? I can't help it if eyeliner is just something that looks good on me, but I'm going to tone it way, way down, maybe even lose it. And
I think
there's a little more than just the liner.
What? How do we go from talking about sponsorships for it to losing it?
No, you know what, though? Let's run an experiment. Let's have him lose it and see if the same result happens again.
At the Crockett Cup.
Yeah. See if it happens again. See how many times you can get hit on.
But add lipstick.
Well,
lose the eyeliner, add lipstick.
The next place you want to lose is North Carolina, and I don't think there's going to be too many people hitting on him in North Carolina. We were in Chicago when this happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, I just, again, trying to be friendly, trying to be nice. Maybe it was the shoes, right? Which by the way.
Could have been. Could have been the shoes.
I was really proud of my shoes, the zebra stripes.
It could have been your vibe. But again, it doesn't, in the big scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. Do what you want to be happy.
Aaron's a sharp dresser.
Yeah. Aaron, he overdresses as coach for the locker room. But like I said, again, I feel like it's on you. You know, like who you date, what you date I don't care. You know, I got to worry about my own issues. I don't care. Whatever makes you happy, float your boat. It's your thing. But again, I go back to my point, though. If you send confusing signals, Aaron, that's something that you should probably correct. You can't, you know, it's not his fault.
Georgie was right.
Yeah, Georgie was, my daughter was right. She was like, well.
Georgie was correct. Yes, 100%.
You know?
I'm admitting it on the air.
Through the eyes of babes.
But, no, hey, you know what? We live and we learn,
yep.
Shall we say.
Yeah.
But I'm not losing the ascot or the blue velvet blazer.
Hey. Yeah. Whatever, hey, I don't freaky diggy. Whatever floats your boat, Briz.
Get in where you fit in.
Well, he tried.
He did. He sure did.
Nah, he was like I said, you know, and I think, you know, it's fun when these things happen, but again, it just goes back to the green room or the locker room needs to be still a sacred place. Where people don't come in the back and see the show. And there's a reason why there's chairs in front of the ring and there's not chairs in the locker room, other than for the guys who sit in it and get changed. That's just me. You know, that's the old school. It's what I was brought in, you know, and that's why I think there's a lot more, you have more problems and more miscommunications and more bad things happen in the locker room when you have fans in the locker room. It's just, I don't think it's conducive for a good show. I think it, you know,
just for wrestling. That's for anything.
Across the board. But then again, you wouldn't be in the Patriots locker room before the game. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't be.
Look, you don't go to Wendy's and get behind a counter, right?
No, not unless I'm clocking in. And that needs to be the same thing.
Yep, for sure. But people feel like they can, it goes back to people feeling like they can do what they want.
It's an entitlement, you know, and that's the problem with today is like there are some things that's not for you unless you're in it. And I think it's okay to say that. You didn't, you know, I don't need to like just stroll into a banker's meeting. I didn't earn the right to be there. So I can't discuss percentage points and interest rates. Not qualified to be in that meeting. And just because you watch wrestling doesn't mean you need to be backstage with the boys hanging out. Like, that's just not. And
I've never heard that. We all heard it.
Even my family, it's at the end. They can come in at the locker room when it's all over, but you'll never see them. If I was having to deal with my opponent or whatever, they would never be a part of that. There's just, you know, there's just some things you don't do. And again, that's, you know, that's the old philosophy, but I still think it's the right philosophy.
Absolutely. Well, and even when you and I were wrestling, Tyrus, and my son was back there, he's old enough to know he helps out when he can. But when you and I started, you know, doing business, he went on. You know what I mean?
Because
he has to learn that's an earned spot.
Yeah.
You know, and you're 100% on that.
All right, fellas. I got to get ready for the, you know, keep going with America's number one late night comedy show. And, and of course, I got those live events coming up in Biloxi, Mississippi, Houston, and good old Crawley, Louisiana. So I think there's a few tickets left. Crawley sold out both nights. So
when's Biloxi?
Congrats.
I got to check here. That's a good question. I should probably be more prepared. Biloxi, Mississippi. Let's see here.
Our old stomping grounds.
Yeah. Yep. It sure is. That was one of the reasons why it was picked. Had some good matches in good old Biloxi.
Yeah, if I'm home, I want to come out to that.
Here we go. All right. Let's see here. April 23rd, Houston, Texas. May 4th, Walhalla, South Carolina. May 7th, Shelby, North Carolina. May 18th, Biloxi, Mississippi. May 19th, Gulf Shore, Alabama. And then July 13th, I return to my college in Kearney, Nebraska. So it's going to be a busy. So I got a man in his Omaha, Concordia, Clovis, Twin Falls, Bozeman, Montana, Billsman, Montana, and finishing up at Decatur, Illinois. So I've got a pretty good summer tour going on.
Hell yeah. Crushing it, dude.
But all right. Hey, where can everybody find you guys on social media?
You catch me at The Real T Murdoch on Instagram and Twitter. And then, of course, there's a blue check mark next to Trevor Murdoch on Facebook.
At LukeHawks504 and everything. I'm still on a little break, but I'll be back eventually. And at Wildcat Sports Cat with a K. Check it out.
On Instagram at The Aaron Files, T-H-E-A-R-O-N Files. But I'm thinking about changing my name to Easy A.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's our time. Enough said.
Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.